Hello and welcome to ADHD Fest, the podcast all about adult ADHD with a little bit of law of attraction and a dollop of self-development thrown in there. If you don't know me, I am your host, Tara Pratt, and today's episode is going to be all about ADHD and parenthood. If you're not a parent, I'm hoping there are some little nuggets of wisdom in here for you because we've all got lives. Maybe you are a pet parent. Maybe you're thinking of becoming a parent. Maybe you want to reassure yourself that it was the right decision to not become a parent. I don't know, but that is what it's going to be about today. It's a real big topic within ADHD. We've spent the last 2 weeks kind of out of our usual routine on these pods because I've been in burnout. But I am feeling great today. I am well and truly out of the burnout, and I want to give you some really valuable tips to be proactive. It's going to be a nice positive episode today. Not toxic positivity though. We are going to talk about obviously the struggles as a parent, and there are a lot of them, whether you're neurotypical or neurodiverse. But specifically, we're going to dig into the ADHD symptoms that can pose unique challenges for us as parents. I might slip into saying mums every now and again, only because I'm a mum and I know a lot of you are women listening, but I have spoken to a fair few men that have been listening in as well. So please don't be offended if I start saying motherhood or as a mum. These are mainly for both people, these tips and tricks. And when I was researching into this topic and having a little brainstorm before the episode, I was amazed at how many benefits there are actually to being a parent with ADHD. It's not all doom and gloom. There are some unique strengths that we have that work really well with bringing up a child. So it's going to be a little bit of the struggles, a little bit of the benefits, and then at the end we're going to discuss how we can focus on those strengths and make them greater and how we can support the supposed weaknesses. So, studies suggest that mothers or parents with ADHD are more likely to have children who also have ADHD, which highlights the importance of early identification and support. When I first had Theo, he's now 6, he's going to be 7 next month, I had no idea that I had ADHD, and not having identified that created some issues that definitely wouldn't have been as prominent had I known that I had ADHD. There was a lot of self-judgment there. And if you are ADHD, genetically you are more predisposed to have a child with ADHD. And that also brings its own issues, its own problems, because when the two of you have got ADHD, and particularly if neither of you are diagnosed or you don't realize that that's a possibility, it's gonna create some real heartache and some real problems within your relationship with your child. So I thought that was really interesting that the studies show we're more likely to have children with ADHD. And if we don't know about it, then that's gonna be a problem. And that is why this podcast exists, this brand exists, ADHD Fest, to get the awareness out there, because knowing means we can do something about it, means that we can give ourselves some self-compassion. Research also explores the potential positive aspects of being a parent with ADHD, and that's things like increased creativity and adaptability in parenting styles. And those are research-based, so we're going to dig into all of them. But let's begin with the challenges, and then we can end on a high. So first of all, the one that stands out to me is parenting guilt. A lot of us call it mum guilt, but it can be dads as well. Parenting guilt is strong in anyone. Any neurotypical can feel it. It's a commonplace thing, but I think with ADHD specifically, it's much more heightened, because that difficulty in staying organized and completing tasks really, for me, I'm going to talk from a personal point of view. Not being able to complete tasks, not being able to stay organized, even when it's for my child, really knocked me out. It really made me feel so guilty, because to be honest, when I got pregnant, I was scared. Obviously, we're all a little bit scared, like, oh, I'm going to be a mom, I'm going to look after a child, they're going to rely on me. I had no idea I had ADHD. But because I'd always felt a little bit lazy, like I'm not working hard enough, like a bit of a failure, like I couldn't get organized, I also felt excited, like, oh my God, this is going to give me the motivation to sort myself out. This is going to change my life because it's not about me anymore. I'm going to have to look after a baby. I'm going to love it so much that it's going to make it much more important for me to stay on task and to stay organized. And I'm finally going to become that amazing person that I've always wanted to be, because of course I'm going to sacrifice my own downtime and not be lazy, and I'll be this perfect mother. Yeah, right. When that didn't happen, and I was trying doubly hard to make it happen, because it was true, I did love this little baby. I did want to be the best mum I could possibly be. I didn't want to be lazy. It gave me so much more motivation. But the problem is, motivation isn't the issue when we have ADHD. We can be full of motivation and it's not going to get us to do what we need to do, because we have executive functioning issues, because we have time blindness, because we have working memory issues. But I didn't know that because I wasn't diagnosed. So I just thought, wow, I'm still just as lazy as I was before I had a kid. Wow, I'm a real failure now. I'm not only a failure in life, but I'm a failure as a mother, because I've run out of nappies, because I forgot the weigh-in appointment, because I don't know the perfect way to do this motherhood thing, and because I'm tired. And obviously, hindsight is amazing. Tiredness, I now know, heightens your ADHD symptoms. So not only were all my coping strategies out of the window, my life was not my own. I had this huge responsibility now with no sick days, no rest time. So I couldn't use my coping strategies that I was automatically doing. But also I was tired. So those symptoms that I had been masking kind of successfully before were heightened, and I had no coping strategies to fall back on. And this is such a common experience within the ADHD community. In fact, a lot of us, it's my story in particular, and I know it's a lot of yours, discovered our ADHD because we became parents. I would never have known had I not had a son. If I'd have decided against having children, I don't think I would ever have realized I had ADHD. Only for the fact that it's obviously a lot more prominent now and the awareness is getting out there, things like this podcast, I just don't think I ever would have thought it applied to me. I don't think I would have looked twice, unless I was really struggling with something else, maybe with work, or I had a stressful event or something that made those ADHD symptoms come out more prominently, then maybe. But motherhood really dragged it out of me, kicking and screaming. There was no denying that there was an issue. I couldn't cope. And there was no reason why I couldn't cope at the time, is what I thought. But now we know there was a reason. It was ADHD. All that to say, parenting guilt is huge. The guilt around feeling like I wasn't a good enough mother, like I didn't care enough about my child, to make me feel a little bit emotional. But I'm not going to cry on the pod. That feeling feels as strong today. I can remember that feeling of, wow, I'm not a good enough mother. My child only has me as a mother. I'm the only person in the world that can be their mum. They had no choice, and I am not good enough. And if I'm not good enough, then they don't get to have a good enough mother. And the guilt of that, the weight of that, the shame of that was all encompassing. And I would say that is the number one challenge for me. And looking back now, who's to say? I've had no more kids since Theo because it was so hard. And then I realised I had ADHD. I decided not to have any more children. But it would be interesting. I kind of regret it in the fact that I wonder what it would be like second time round. Now that I'm medicated, now that I know that I've got ADHD, now that I have all this understanding of myself, would it be different? And the only reason I haven't had any more and decided it for definite, like obviously I could have more, and that I do know it now and I am medicated now, is for the fact that it wouldn't be the same as the first time. It's not, I'll never get that chance again to have one child and be medicated and know about my ADHD. It would be two children, which obviously would be a massive difference. And I just feel like personally for me, it was so hard the first time and I didn't cope well, and I'm in such a good spot now as a mother. Theo is 7 coming up next month, and I feel like I've really cracked motherhood on my end anyway. I know he's going to change and I know there's going to be different challenges, but I feel good about the way I parent now. I feel like throwing another kid in the mix and not knowing what's going to happen from that feels too risky on my part. And I couldn't do that to Theo if I did get overwhelmed and fall to pieces again. I feel like he deserves to have all of me. If it's an ADHD version, then he gets to have all of it, the good and the bad. And I don't want to split that between two children, but that's just my personal choice. And that guilt has gone a long way to making that decision for me. So we're into challenge one. We're 10 minutes in. We're going to speed this up a bit. Another one quickly is postpartum depression. This mostly affects women, but it does affect men sometimes as well. But if you are a mother with ADHD, you are at higher risk of experiencing postpartum depression due to the additional demands of new parenthood and potential hormonal fluctuations. So anyone can get postpartum depression. You don't have to be ADHD, but we are at a higher risk of it. I don't think I had this. I do think I might have had postpartum anxiety. But then again, it may just have been the wheels falling off of the undiagnosed ADHD. Another challenge is the internalized negative self-talk. This is a general challenge anyway in life, whether you've got kids or not with ADHD. But the societal expectations of motherhood in particular, but definitely parenthood, it's not just mums that undergo this, but I do think it's much higher expectations on a mother's shoulders. And it leads to feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt, and that's just exacerbated by these ADHD symptoms because we try harder and harder and harder and it doesn't work, and society dictates so much as a parent, and every situation is different. We overgeneralize, we have stereotypes. I'm a big believer in a case-by-case opinion. I'm not going to say, oh, men who do this are bad, women who do this are bad. No, that is what is wrong with society. We need to look at all the facts before we make decisions or judgments at all. And I think we overgeneralize way too much. But in particular with mothers, we are expected to give up everything for our child. We're expected to put them first. We are expected to do it all. Particularly these days, we're expected to work full time like we don't have kids and look after our kids like we don't work. I am very lucky in the fact that I've always been self-employed, so I've kind of been able to work around that. But I found it very hard, and I look at my friends who are working full-time. A lot of them are the breadwinners in their family, and I'm like, how are you doing it? And I'm sure they have internalized negative self-talk. They don't believe that they're as amazing as they are, even though me on the outside, I'm like, oh my God, how do you do it? Those internalized messages from society, from our culture as a whole, are you must be, do and have everything and you must do it perfectly. Particularly when we have ADHD, because we've got rejection sensitivity dysphoria, we try and avoid rejection. So we give ourselves all this negative self-talk, hoping to motivate ourselves and avoid the rejection of others. We judge ourselves before others judge us, and we try and live up to this crazy standard. So that's a real hard one for us. And another one is relationship strain. So I know there's a lot of single parents on here. I am not a single parent, so I don't talk that much about being a single parent, mostly because I don't know the struggles. I cannot imagine how difficult it must be as a single parent. And I've got such huge respect for you, massive respect for you. I know a lot of people, my friends who are single, have said actually it was easier in some ways to parent because their partner was not pulling their weight and they could be more free to do stuff and they didn't have to clean up after the other person. But me personally, having no one to pass the ball to, even for 10 minutes, would be so hard. So I have massive respect for single parents. I'm not going to talk about it much on here. Maybe one day I'll try and get someone on to interview on the podcast about single parenting, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what it's like and I can give you all the tips. I'm just giving general parenting tips. So the relationship strain, if you are in a relationship, managing ADHD symptoms alongside the demands of motherhood can make you really stressed. It can make you really overwhelmed. I know in particular for me, by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, on a weekend or summer holidays or something, I am overstimulated. I cannot take even one tiny bit more of stress. In fact, this happened to me last night. I'm going to tell you right now. It was a school day, so I didn't even have the kids until after school, and Theo didn't get home till 4:30 because he had rugby. And from 4:30 till 8:00, he was on one. I don't know what has happened. I don't know whether they've given him biscuits or something in school, but he was jumping off the walls and it was just too much. I was tired. I was overstimulated. And I went upstairs just for a second and I had an email and I was trying to reply to this email, and Pete comes in asking me a question and I bit his head off. I'm not a shouter, but I was like, what? I just need 5 minutes. Like, I was just so irritated with him. He'd done absolutely nothing wrong, but I was just overwhelmed. I'm overstimulated. And luckily he's a real laid back guy and he knew, and he was like, oh, I'll give you 5 minutes. Just finish your email. And then I went downstairs and was like, I'm really sorry about that. It's just hard sometimes. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. But if he wasn't as laid back as that, or if I wasn't self-aware enough to know that that was part of my ADHD and I didn't go and apologize, then that could cause a big blowout in a household. Of course it can. When you're stressed, when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed, and any parent can get that. This isn't exclusive to ADHD, but isn't that the point? Any parent can get like that without ADHD. So can you imagine what it's like with ADHD? So work on forgiving yourself around that if you are snappy, but also have that self-awareness and try and relate to your partner, try and explain to them, try and wind it back and apologize when you have snapped or created conflict or extra stress and you know it's because of your ADHD on reflection. And that stress can also create issues because of our emotional regulation. We have problems with emotional regulation, that's well known, and the increased stress can make it even more difficult to manage our emotions. And if you can't manage your emotions around your kids, it's just a disaster waiting to happen, because they're emotional, we're emotional. It just makes for an unpleasant time for all. If we're going to talk about the specific symptoms of ADHD and behaviours and how they affect parenting, I'm just going to run through that quickly. So organisation and time management, we've got a difficulty staying focused and completing tasks. And if you think about all the deadlines you've got for kids, all the appointments, all the toys everywhere, all the, you know, I must get about 3 or 4 emails a week from the school and all different trips and whatever. Another reason why I kind of feel like I couldn't handle more than one. Luckily for me, my stepdaughter Sophia is 14 now and she can pretty much handle her own schedule in that way. But I did used to do hers and now I do Theo's, and it's crazy trying to keep up with it. So the problems with organisation and time management can make that difficult. Impulsivity and emotional regulation with an ADHD is a symptom, and that can make us prone to acting impulsively, and it causes us a lot of frustration. Again, that emotional emotional regulation problem. And it can also affect our communication with children, because if we're impulsive and we're high emotions, trying to communicate with a child is hard enough, but when you're in that state, it's going to make it even worse. Then we have our executive functioning difficulties, and that gives us challenges with planning, prioritizing, problem solving, and keeping to those daily routines, which we all know children really benefit from, particularly like bedtime routines. If you've ever done anything like that, I find it really hard. I'm kind of solidly in one now, but it's still loose. Luckily, Theo responds really well to that loose schedule, but it took us a while to get into, and I find it hard to stick to that routine. And then lastly is overstimulation and fatigue. I've already said about this, that I find this hard at the end of the day. We're just easily overwhelmed by sensory input. The kids are loud. They've got sticky stuff everywhere. They've got flashing, noisy toys. It impacts our interactions and we're prone to exhaustion. And having those children that may also have, well, just high energy levels as children do, but might also have some kind of neurodiversity, it creates real problems. So let's move on from the challenges to the strengths, because I've been talking about that for long enough. The first strength is creativity and enthusiasm. So parents with ADHD bring creativity and excitement to their parenting, and that helps to foster a fun and healthy environment for children. Children want to play, they want to have fun, and as neurodiverse people, that's what we want to do as well, because we're always seeking dopamine. So we want to play, we want to have fun. If you've mixed in there a little bit of trauma, which I know a lot of us have, you can sometimes find it difficult to get down on the floor and play with your kids. But that doesn't mean we don't entertain them in other ways. We're always looking, I am always happy to go to the cinema with the kids. I'm always happy to take them out playing some game or to a theme park, or I like to get creative. I love an art project. We can spend hours doing like school competitions, sticking things together. I love that creativeness. We sing songs together all the time. I think that is a perfect benefit of my ADHD, is I'm always thinking of what can I do that's creative and fun for these kids? What can we do together that is going to be so much fun? And we get on some real adventures. And believe me, if it was down to me, neurotypical husband, that would not be the case. He is great at taking them to like swimming, tennis, you know, all the regular things. I'm the one that thinks outside the box of all these magical fun things to do. I'm really creative in that way. The next benefit is, and these come from the research, remember guys, this isn't coming from me actually, this is coming from the research and I'm just adding my own twist, is high energy and resourcefulness. ADHDers high energy can translate into engaging activities and problem solving approaches. Now, I would never describe myself as high energy. My ADHD is not the hyperactive type, it's inattentive. If you've got hyperactive, then you definitely will have that high energy vibe. But I tell you what I do have a lot of high energy for, and I do have a lot of problem solving skills on, is events. Like my kids have the best birthday parties. I've probably spoken about this on the podcast, but I did like a massive, after COVID, massive Valentine's Day just thing for us. I got them every type of Valentine thing you could possibly have. I had the perfect playlist. I had a Valentine's Day decorations, balloons, a tablecloth. I just made it really magical for them. And I tend to do that a lot. I've got a lot of energy for just fun, random events and things like that. And that's always fun for a kid. Of course it is. That's where the magic is made. And the last one, which I think is the most important one, is a deep level of empathy and understanding. Parents with ADHD may relate well to children who also struggle with focus or organization, offering empathy and support. So if your children are neurodiverse, then you can share that experience with them. You've got the empathy for them. You know firsthand what those struggles are. But also, one of the outcomes of ADHD can be this heightened sense of empathy. Our emotional regulation problems actually give us deeper emotions. We don't just get the negative emotions, we get the positive ones too. And I have a deep level of empathy for my child. I feel like that is what I have really focused on as my strength, is understanding what is going on in his little mind, supporting him, making him laugh, cheering him up when he needs it, but also listening to his troubles and taking them seriously. Like a lot of people who don't have that level of empathy and understanding might just fob off their child and be like, oh, that's not something to get upset about. Forget about that. No, that's not even important. Why would you be scared of that? That's stupid. Whereas I'm like, no, he's 6 years old and that would be scary from his point of view. I can empathize with him and I can help him through those things. And I feel like that's created a really close bond between us. And that's what I love about my ADHD. And actually, one I'd forgotten about that I've just found is resilience and problem solving. So your experience with overcoming challenges can translate into finding creative solutions to everyday difficulties within the family. And I find that to be absolutely true. So that came from the research. But within my family, I'm always coming up with creative solutions. I am the problem solver. If someone has a problem, I'm the first person they come to. And I love that. I love that that's my role. There's a lot of things that aren't my role, that aren't my zone of genius as an ADHDer, like organization and things like that. But if you've got a problem, I'm the one that can help. And in a crisis in particular, my brain will be fully stimulated and fully switch on. And poor Pete, my husband, is terrible in a crisis. We were laughing the other day. What did he do? He spilled something. Oh, he'd made curry. And as he brought it over, he slipped and all his curry went everywhere all over the floor. And he was just like going, And he was just like standing over it in the same spot and he did not know what to do. And I was like, what are you doing? Do this. And he was just dripping it more and more all over the floor. And I went into hyper gear mode and I got all the kitchen roll and I went straight over and I got it. And I was like, right, get that, get over to the sink, do this, do that. And that's obviously like a minor thing. It's not a crisis, but I love the way we swap brains when something like that happens. He goes into the, oh, I don't know what to do. Why shall I go first? What shall I do? And I go into like mega organized. I can sort this problem in seconds. So those are the strengths. And I think they're pretty good ones. The challenges are really rubbish and the strengths are really great. And that is the paradox of ADHD. So what can we do about it? How can we support those weaknesses and struggles? And how can we focus on our strengths? So a growing body of research examines mindfulness and cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT, as effective interventions for mothers or fathers with ADHD, helping them manage symptoms and improve overall well-being. That is what the research says. Listen to the researchers, listen to the experts. I am not an expert. I put that in every episode in the show notes. I am no expert. I'm just those few steps ahead and I'm hyper focusing on ADHD. But I am going to say that I disagree over the CBT. I think now the treatment is actually DBT rather than CBT. But for me personally, CBT is the opposite of what I need for my ADHD. It just is not helpful. I love therapy, but I like talk therapy. I like sound therapy. I like somatic therapy. CBT just does not do it for me. It just isn't in depth enough. But that's what the research says, so I've got to say it there. Other tips for success is, well, one, do seek professional help. Talk to a doctor or therapist around managing ADHD if you can get in to see them. You can do that through medication, therapy, or a combination of both. I'm a combination of both. Next is embrace self-care. This is so counterintuitive if you are a parent because you're just trying to survive. But it says prioritize activities like exercise, meditation, and relaxation to manage stress and enhance emotional well-being. Well, we all know, particularly if you've got a newborn, that ain't happening. One thing you can do that I do quite often rather than meditation is listen to subliminals. You can find them on YouTube or you can buy them from certain people. Just subliminals that will help you calm down, that will help boost your mental well-being. Also, you know, we have all got a shower, we have all got a bath. Maybe you've got to take the baby in the bathroom with you in their little bouncy chair, which is what we normally do. But you don't have to just have a really quick shower. You can have a bath or get the baby in the bath with you for a bit. Exercise, get out pram pushing if you can, if that's the age your kids are. And relaxation to manage stress. Yeah, that's going to be a real hard one. But just try and get it in any way you can. Like 1 minute here and there is better than nothing. My favorite tip actually here is simplify your routines and structure. So develop consistent routines with visual aids, timers and checklists to manage daily tasks and keep everyone organized. This is a good tip whether you've got kids or not. There's someone I listen to that I've mentioned on here for a while called Kendra Adachi, and she has the Lazy Genius podcast. And basically what she talks about is deciding what matters. So you look at something you're struggling with, like maybe a morning routine, or maybe you keep forgetting the baby's appointments. Wait a minute, my postman's here. Okay, I'm back. Where was I? I was talking about simplifying your routine. So yeah, Kendra Adachi, Lazy Genius, she talks about look at what matters. So no matter what you're struggling with, let's take you're missing appointments. You either can't get there in time or you're forgetting them. What matters in that situation? Now with ADHD, we can struggle with that because we're like, well, everything matters. It matters that the baby is dressed nicely. It matters that I'm dressed nicely. It matters that I've got my baby bag fully stocked. It matters that I'm there on time. Okay, so instead of that, we can look at, okay, what doesn't matter? Does it really matter if I'm dressed nicely? And you might think to yourself, well, yeah, because then they might think I'm a bad mum, blah, blah, blah. And you think, well, no, what is the objective of this? The objective is to get to the appointment. And yes, it might matter a little bit to look nice. But if it's the difference between looking nice or missing the appointment, which do you think would make you look like a worse parent? If you don't look nice or if you miss the appointment or you're late? Which out of those two matters more? And just whittle it down in that way so you're like, okay, the baby's got to look nice. Does it? Does the baby have to be dressed in a perfectly matched outfit? No, I would argue no. And you might be like, well, then they'll think I'm a bad mother. Okay, as long as your baby is clean and well cared for, what does it matter about their clothes? In a perfect world, yes, it matters. It would be nice to go looking spick and span and be that parent that is amazing and covers all these bases. But if trying to attain that level, that standard, is actually hindering you and you're missing the appointment or you're late for the appointment, then it does not matter. All that matters is getting there and getting that child whatever treatment it needs, whatever that appointment is. That is what matters. That's the number one thing that matters. And if there's lots of things that matter to you, just pick the most important thing out of that situation first. Don't add like five important things. Pick the first one and we're just kind of try and aim for that to happen every single time first. And then if that happens regularly as a habit, then we can add the next second priority in there. What matters is getting to the appointment on time and them getting their treatment. That's all that matters. Okay, so how are we going to make those things happen and ensure that they happen every single time and to hell with everything else? I don't know, you could set up automated things on Alexa to remind you when to leave. You could make sure you've got petrol in your car on a certain day every time. I do load my petrol up in my car on a Monday or a Friday. I always check it. And then I know I've got petrol for the whole of the week. I'm not going to get stuck going out the door. And then you realise you've got new petrol. Like, what are the things that you can ensure you're definitely going to get to appointments on time? How are you definitely going to remember them? And that is all that matters. It doesn't matter whether you've got the perfect outfit. It doesn't matter whether the baby's got the perfect outfit. It doesn't matter whether you've got a fully stocked baby bag. You can buy things when you're out. It's fine. Yes, perfect world. We want it all done. But we choose what matters. And that is what we're going to aim for. And that's just a great tip from Kendra Adachi there. Check out her podcast. It's really good. Lazy Genius. Another tip that might help is having parent support groups. This doesn't mean we're all just going to sit around in a circle and talk about our woes as parents. This just means who around you is in a similar situation and can empathize with you and understands you. And yeah, your mum might have been a parent 30 years ago. She might understand, but she's not going to empathize with you to the level of someone who is in your shoes right now. She can't remember what it was like in the depths of parenthood. You need to find people your own age. And whether that's you go into little baby classes, you can go to like free play groups down at your local church hall. Or you could, you know, I picked up a lot of my friends from the school gates. So just chatting at the school gates is where I found a lot of mum friends. Before that, I went to the NCT classes when I was pregnant and I found those. But also I'm really lucky to have some girls back home from school. And we, funnily enough, all got pregnant within the same year. Out of five of us, four of us were pregnant. So having that support is really helpful. And in particular, if you can get ADHD friends that are also mums, then even better, because they really can empathize with what you're going through. And just having someone who's like, oh my God, me too, isn't it crap, will make you feel so much better. Communicate with your family and with your friends. If they don't understand, if they're not parents, communicate with them. Tell them what it's like. Tell them you have ADHD and these are the reasons why it's harder for you. Explain to them that it's not that you don't want to try, that it's not that you're not motivated, you want to be the perfect parent, but these are the reasons why you are held back. And they're not excuses, they are reasons. You have a disability with ADHD that no matter how hard you try, stops you from achieving the same level as someone else who put in the same amount of effort that doesn't have that disability. And that is completely valid. And once you explain that to friends and family, give you permission to release the guilt, release the shame. Because once you've explained that to them, if they don't understand it, that's on them. As long as you've given them that chance and you've tried to explain, look, I know you don't understand ADHD, but this is how it affects me and this is how it might show up in me as a parent. If they're still judgmental after that, then sod them, sod them. And lastly, you really do need to focus on those strengths and remind yourself of them a lot of the time. Try and think back, give yourself time to reflect on the times that you have been a great parent. And that doesn't mean always getting there on time. It doesn't mean always helping them with their homework. It doesn't mean those things. Being a great parent is creating memories. It is looking after their emotional needs with those great empathy skills that you have been working on your whole life. It is having that deep emotional bond with them from your emotional regulation issues, loving them so deeply. It is creating those memories from your crazy ADHD brain and all the crazy things that you've thought up to do with them. It's from the creativity time. If you're hyperactive, it's running around the garden with them. Those are the things that make you a great parent, and those are the things they're gonna remember. And just try to remind yourself of that as much as possible. Try, and when you've done one of those things, try and congratulate yourself in your mind and think, well done, well done. This is great parenting from you. And the more you focus on those things, the more it's going to encourage you to do them. The more it's going to encourage you to look at yourself as a good parent, in quotes. Because what is a good parent anyway? And if you've listened to this whole episode, I'm here to tell you that you absolutely are a great parent if you have children. If you haven't got children, thank you so much for listening all the way through. I hope you've gotten something out of it. If you do have children and you've listened all the way through, then you definitely are a good parent. You're committed enough to listen to this episode and want to know how the ADHD affects your parenthood, how you can help yourself with parenthood, and what more could any child want from their parent than for them to be interested in it and to be putting in the effort. So well done to you. If you've got any questions, if you've got any suggestions, please hop on over to Instagram. That's where I am mostly, at ADHDFest. I am on Facebook and TikTok too. You can find me on there. I'll leave all the links down below. There's also freebies down below. And don't forget about the Body Doubling membership. It's a podcast just like this one, except we do it in real time and we do real tasks. And I've been loving it lately. We've been doing a lot of tidying and cleaning lately, but I'm open to suggestions. I'm thinking about doing an exercise one. I've been thinking about that for a while, actually. I don't know why I keep putting it off, because I have actually been for walks and exercise. I just need to remember to plug my mic in and do it. But we do things together and I'm having a lot of fun over there. I'm getting some great feedback and it's helping me do things, and hopefully it's helping you do things as well. So please do check that out below. I'll leave the link for that, and I'll see you all next week, guys. Bye.